And at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
It's so good to see you. My name's Kev. I'm the senior minister here at Euston Church. Great to have you with us as we continue our Christmas celebration. Some of our regular church family have already left town, so it's great to have you with us if you're visiting, and I see some old friends and old faces with us as well. It's so good to see you. We're going to watch my favorite Christmas advert of all time. It's called The Long Wait.
Good times for a change. See the luck I've had. Could make a good man turn bad. So for once in my life, let me get what I want. Lord knows it would be the first time. Lord knows it would be the first time.
Sorry about the commercialization at the end there. It's very cute. It genuinely makes me, almost brings me to tears every time, that one. But it's completely unrealistic in my personal experience. None of my children has ever shown up at the bedroom door with a present on Christmas morning. Anyway, it does sum up the agitated excitement in our household at the moment with 3 days to go. The youngest finished her chocolate advent calendar weeks ago. At some point, when none of us noticed, she started eating 3 a day, opening the windows. Anyway, the long wait. How about 2,000 years of the long wait? That was the people in our final scripture reading. The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, classic fantasy children's novel by C.S. Lewis, tells the story of Narnia, a country where it was always winter, but never Christmas. Quite a haunting description of a world cursed and cold and waiting. Ancient Israel 2,000 years ago was like that, a weary world. Can we relate? Always winter in Narnia, never Christmas. And then, do you know what? Something changed in Narnia. Finally, they had a Christmas, and the long wait was over. Luke, the gospel writer, is describing that kind of massive moment. On one level, it's the story of an individual, Simeon, but the story of a nation, the story of a world. Advent's supposed to be a season of hope and anticipation, but hope's dangerous because hope makes us vulnerable to hopes dashed. Luke wants us to lean in with certainty to the hope of Jesus, whether you've been waiting for him or not. Is this all just familiar and festive stuff? Or could it be that this taps into the deepest needs and hopes of your soul? Simeon, one of the forgotten characters of the Nativity. We didn't have him up here, and much more focus on the stable animals than him. But in the original script, Luke, the historian, gives Simeon huge airtime because he's been waiting. That final reading fast forwards the action a few weeks on. Mary's got a few postnatal Pilates sessions under her belt, and the family have journeyed up to the temple to make their sacrifices. Well, barely in the door, this probably old man rushes towards them, grabs the baby, and goes berserk. Verse 28, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. This child, now I can die happy. Weird, isn't it? You'd grab the child back if you were the parent. But Simeon sees this few-week-old bundle and he sees a megastar. He sees millennia of Old Testament fulfilled. He sees the end of the long wait. Verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Gentiles means rest of the world, way more than a Jewish savior or the religious person's savior. All peoples. New Lion King movie out this weekend. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but do you remember the original, right at the start, where Simba's born and beardy old monkey holds the cub aloft? Do you remember that scene? Ah, Simba! And it's not just in front of Simba and his family, or even in front of just the lions, the plain below, teeming with elephants, thrashing their trunks, monkeys jumping up and down, zebras doing whatever zebras do when they're excited, because here before us is the great hope for us all. God is using Simeon to grab our attention to the almighty global significance of who this infant is. My eyes have seen your salvation. Is salvation something that interests you this morning? Something that you need? Depends what kind of salvation we're talking about, I guess. Save me from the crowds around Oxford Street. Why did we go anywhere near there on the Saturday before Christmas? Nightmare yesterday. Salvation from Putin, more seriously? From climate emergency? Maybe more personal and pressing. Save me from these health worries or our family's mess. The long wait for salvation. You know, Exodus vibes all over this reading. Moses mentioned firstborn, redemption. This sweeps up the birth of Jesus into God's long expected plans. Salvation is a broad idea here. loaded with meaning and blessings we all crave. But the key that unlocks this salvation is quite particular. It says Simeon's waiting for the consolation, often translated the comfort of Israel. That was what the prophets had predicted. Comfort in the salvation of sins. And we had that idea earlier in Luke's gospel as well. Chapter 1 talked about salvation in the forgiveness of sins. Sin doesn't sound too Christmassy. Do you have sins that need forgiven? You know, there have been calls for a ceasefire in Ukraine again this year. They've appealed to the first Christmas day of World War I, 1914, exactly 110 years ago this week. German and British troops came out of their trenches into no man's land, wished each other a happy Christmas. They did actually play a football match, which the Germans won 3-2, no surprises there. But the historians tell us that even as the enemies chatted and enjoyed the truce, some on both sides were casting an eye over the opponent's trenches that they might better kill them when the fighting resumed. We're this mixed bag, us human beings, aren't we? Capable of amazing kindness and terrible evil. Wars don't just rage between nations. Battles in families, neighborhoods, online. Do you have regrets and shames? I know I do. We live in an often unforgiving culture. Lots of reasons why we find it hard to forgive. God sees to the bottom of your soul. How should God feel about the ways that we've ignored him and ruined his world? Well, Simeon points us to a God who doesn't come to cancel or condemn salvation. No sweeping sin under the carpet. The baby will grow to die for our forgiveness. Even as Luke introduces him here, the background music to Simeon's song isn't jingle bells, it's the sound of sacrifice. See what he says to Mary as he maps out her son's career? Lovely baby, cute smile, and by the way, sentence 35, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Being this child's mum will feel like being stabbed in the heart the day you watch him pierced. Mary and Joseph have come to make their sacrifices. The pair of turtle doves mentioned in sentence 24, that's where, you know, as in the song, the 12 days of Christmas, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. Very strange song, very weird presents from a bird-obsessed maniac. Anyway, these two turtle doves would not have made a nice gift because they're dripping with blood. The birds take the hit for the people's failure. And so such irony as Mary and Joseph carry in one hand these pigeons to sacrifice, while in the other hand, the most precious sacrifice that this whole temple system pointed towards. He's the sacrifice that we've been waiting for that will purify an entire world's failure. That's why Simeon delights to see him. But not everyone delights. Sentence 34, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that's opposed. Rising and falling in hearts have been mentioned already. Jesus will meet plenty of skeptics who oppose him, not because of a problem with the evidence. They could see his power. Opposing him because their proud hearts were offended at the suggestion they needed saving. The proud will fall into the darkness of judgment. Others, the humble to their need, embrace him, ask for help, and they rise to eternal life. I wonder what you see in this baby and what that reveals about your heart. We're all in one of these two camps in the end. But Jesus is for all, including all the people who are not in church this morning. They're not automatically embraced by all. This needs to be received. And that means saying things like sorry and help me and thank you, which are humbling things to say. There is a freedom here, though, in not having to pretend with God that we're better than we are. And so worth that humbling, because forgiveness unlocks all the other blessings of salvation. Simeon's song sums up so many of the benefits of someone who has embraced Jesus. And by the way, these are all teasers for themes explored as you read on in Luke's gospel, which I hope you will. He says he can depart in peace. Peace, forgiveness from God, brings us to a place of peace with our Maker. Every day, a fresh start, fresh forgiveness. I need that so much. My Maker smiles at me through Christ. And he can depart at peace, at ease about the big what's next. If I don't wake up tomorrow, security. Wouldn't that be good? And revelation to the Gentiles means, well, stuff being revealed, really knowing on our big anxious questions. Jesus hates the idea of us fumbling around in the dark. What freedom in knowing, not knowing everything, but knowing the one out there who we can trust. And then this phrase about the redemption of Jerusalem. Redeemed Jerusalem is not about political Israel today. It's about a new Jerusalem in a redeemed creation, free from sin and curse. That's what the salvation that we're ultimately waiting for is. Too skeptical for this? Well, Luke writes for doubters. Lots to say about why historians with no Christian agenda treat his work as having the highest historical integrity. But you don't have to take Luke's word for it. Jesus gets bigger when you remember that all the weight and freight of ancient promises are accomplished in him. And bigger still when you look at what's followed. Gentiles, remember, means rest of the world. Within a few generations, Gentile Rome was Christian. Nothing shaped our culture more than the teaching of Christ in here. And today there are Christian churches in literally every country on the planet. We should be marveling, like Mary and Joseph were, at the sheer reach and impact of this child. Too proud for this? Well, have a bigger view of this baby, is Simeon's point. Embrace him. Don't be too proud to admit your need. The God of old has dived down among us, and nothing will be the same again. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And yet, go back to Narnia, often feels like it's still winter, doesn't it? I'm not talking about the weather outside. A lot of thawing still to do in our world, still waiting. Too impatient for this, like the kid on the video maybe. That's understandable. We pray, come Lord Jesus, in a godly impatience. But godly people have always been waiting people. It becomes a big theme in Luke. Jesus arrives, but there's a delay before salvation. Christmas says this wounded world is not the last word. A very long wait. But the Christ came. Just as certainly, he will come again to finish the job. I hope you have a great Christmas, whatever it is you're excitedly waiting for. And I pray that you will embrace Jesus, that this child will be for your rising and not your fall. Simeon's our inspiration that waiting is worth it. And he's our role model in how to look rightly at Christmas. My eyes have seen your salvation. Amen.
Let's pray. Christ born for us, Son of God given for us, help us to know you, to trust you, to worship you. Wonderful Counselor, you order all things with your wisdom. Help the church to reveal the mystery of your love and fill us with the Spirit of truth. Mighty God, the government is on your shoulders. Guide the leaders of the nations and bring in your kingdom of justice and righteousness. Prince of Peace, you bring reconciliation and healing. Give physical aid and the light of the gospel to all who suffer. particularly remembering the people of Magdeburg after the atrocity last week. Please draw near to the families of those who died and to those who are injured and living in fear. Christ born in a stable, give courage to all who are homeless. Christ for whom the angels sang, give the song of the kingdom to all who weep. Christ whose radiance filled a lowly manger, give the glory of your resurrection to all who rest in you. Jesus, Saviour, glory to you forever. Amen.